From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Tell us, who's going to get the services? Who's going to get to watch and enjoy Brandon Williams at the next level?
The school that's going to enjoy next year? University of Arizona, bear down.
Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. I am Justin Spears. As always, my partner, Dominic Bachaco. That was Brandon Williams, four-star 2018 point guard, verbally committing to Arizona, but it doesn't look like he's going to back out this time. Arizona gets their point guard once again. Dom, it was a pretty, I guess you should say, positive Saturday for the U of A, because not only you have that, but you have Bob Baffert
yep.
And Arizona softball getting the sweep. Getting this week.
Yeah, over number at UCLA, huge day for Tucson sports, but perhaps nothing bigger than the Brandon Williams commitment.
It's crazy.
It was weird because we all kind of, I don't know about you, but speaking for myself, I had a gut feeling the last couple days that he was coming to Arizona, but yeah. In my head, I kept thinking he was going to Oregon. And he tweeted that same. Wildcat, the gritty Wildcat emoji yesterday. I'm like, okay, like that's either really coincidental or he's getting at something here. Yeah. I just had it in my gut that he was coming here.
Yeah.
But it still kind of came as a surprise, you know, when anyone ever lands any big recruit like that, it always kind of, whether you're expecting it or not, when they say Arizona or wherever the school they're going, it kind of, hits you as a surprise. And I definitely had that feeling with Brandon Williams today.
That's funny you bring up the Wildcat emoji, because I was thinking, first of all, I have, you know, being, I don't know if you were like this, Dom, but I had my Twitter notifications for Brandon Williams every single time that he tweeted.
Right.
So I got the notification saying that, he tweeted this and the Wildcat emoji, and I was waiting for him to tweet the duck.
Mm-hmm.
Or something related to Gonzaga.
Like a dog
and,
or something.
Yeah. And he didn't do that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Tweet the Wildcat, though.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. But then again, I'm like, Brandon Williams has been just dragging us along with this whole, like, oh, I might go here. It's like this whole striptease.
Yeah, and then saying that he's going to do this whole charade at the Ball is Life thing. And not really a charade. It wasn't even on ESPN. I shouldn't say that. But that he was going to announce on a public stage like this. Which I found kind of weird. When he first said he was going to do that, announce at the Ball is Life All-Star Game today, I thought he wasn't going to come to Arizona, because it's kind of weird to me where the first time he did it very low-key, just committed like any other recruit would. And then this time around, he made kind of a bigger deal out of it. And I'm like, okay, well, why would you decommit from Arizona and then recommit and do it on a grander scheme than you did the first time? So maybe he wasn't entirely 100% on board the first time he committed, but he is now. And man, Sean Miller, say what you want about the guy, but he is, in my book, one of the best, if not the best recruiter in the country. I mean, this is a guy who just over 2 months ago, almost to the day, was, you know, denying reports from ESPN that he allegedly spoke to an agent about, you know, involved in a pay-for-play scandal. And here we are 2 months later, he has the 21st ranked recruiting class in the country with two scholarships to go.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got two scholarships, one targeting one of the best athletes in the country in five-star forward Jordan Brown, and another Ryan Luther, a couple other that they have offers out to. But
Parker Braun.
Parker Braun. Yeah. What did I say?
Ryan Luther.
Already on board.
They already got him.
So, I mean, Sean Miller has done an absolutely unreal job. I don't think anyone thought he could do this, but what is he telling these guys to the point where it's like, hey, don't worry about this scandal, we're good. I mean, we're on board for this year, we're making a run at it, and if we thought they were all in 100% for a Final Four last year, they're doing it again because we don't know where they're going to be a year from now, but we know that they're what they're going for this year.
You said that Sean Miller is, if not the best recruiter in the country, and in my head, as soon as you said that, I was like, come on, man, you got to give Coach K, you got to give Coach Cal their props, mm-hmm. but...
Coach K and Cal aren't recruiting through a scandal right now.
And that's exactly why mm-hmm. I was like, maybe Dom does have a point, because even though, even 2 months ago, really,
mm-hmm.
we were all sitting here thinking Arizona's in shambles right now. Like, what
two
is...
2 months ago, Sean Miller was defending his life at the U of A.
Yeah.
Board of Regents was having meetings just over 2 months ago about Sean Miller's future, whether or not he was going to be coach here. Mm-hmm. And now he has one of the best recruiting classes in the country with two scholarships to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
he's a witch.
He is. it's unreal.
You're a wizard, Sean.
And even, I mean, all these three stars he's been picking up has been pretty, four stars, excuse me, has been pretty impressive. I mean, all the grad transfers he's been pulling in, some of the top in the country. And it's like, okay, what he's doing is impressive, but he didn't really make the splash until today with Brandon Williams. Yeah. I want to read you a quote from Brandon Williams today. A lot of people wondering why maybe he came back here after decommitting on March 2nd. Quote today at Ball is Life, the whole thing for me was being extremely happy with the program where I know I was most comfortable with and where I know my heart first led me. That was with Coach Miller and the University of Arizona. If you think there's any chance of him decommitting this time, you're wrong.
Yeah.
he's on board for good. And it's, I mean, it's a huge ad for Sean Miller and in a class that's only going to get better or in the coming weeks.
Yeah. But before we get into... Jordan Brown talks, because I know that's what a lot of people are more interested in. Mm-hmm. Looking at Brandon Williams and the whole outlook of the roster for next season, I tweeted out earlier just my projected starting lineup, which I think is a fair starting lineup. Mm-hmm. I said Brandon Williams will be your starting point guard. Dylan Smith will be your starting two. Emmanuel Acott at the three. Ira Lee playing power forward with Chase Jeter playing at the five. And people are like, oh, you're not giving Brandon Randolph enough credit, this and that. It was like, we didn't really see enough out of Brandon Randolph this year. So I don't know how much better he's going to get from year one to year two. Mm-hmm. It could be huge. He could be one of the best players on the team next year. But my thing is every single time that Raleigh was out this year and mm-hmm. Dylan Smith was installed in the starting lineup, I'm pretty sure all but one of those games he went off for double figures, if I'm not wrong.
Dylan Smith?
Yeah, Dylan
right,
Smith.
Right.
So that's why I'm like, come on. Although Dylan Smith didn't have the crazy explosive year that everybody thought he was going to have, he still produced when he was a starter.
And he was a hot shooter, too. I mean, they rode the hot hand on Dylan Smith. When he was hitting threes, it almost felt like he couldn't miss. And,
yeah,
it was up and down, but it was his first real playing time with the U of A. And he'll get better. He should get better. If he becomes a more consistent shooter, I think he'd be very good, too.
Yeah.
And he'll probably settle in there for the remainder of the year. But people talk, okay, well, you're not giving Brandon Randolph enough credit. If he's the sixth man coming off the bench, that's pretty impressive.
It's pretty good.
You know, if you're
it's not bad.
Presuming, you know, let's say that Jordan Brown commits to Arizona, that means Ira Lee's probably coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Slide Chase Jeter to the four. That means you got Ira Lee and Brandon Randolph as your two guys coming off the bench, at the first TV timeout. That's a pretty good lineup.
That was literally what they were doing this year.
Right, right. And don't discredit the sixth man off Arizona's bench. You've seen guys like Rondé do it before and have a huge amount of success. So Brandon Randolph can make it work. If he's that good, he'll get time in the starting roster, too. Yeah. He can play the two. He can play the three off the ball wherever you want him to. And that's the other thing with the point guards, too. Coleman and Barcelo are going to get time on the court even when Brandon Williams is there. They can both play off the ball. They're both versatile. Even Dutry, he's going to get time off the ball. He can play the one. He can play the two. He can probably stretch him to a three. So they got a lot of guys who can run the point and stretch as far as a small forward on the court. So it'll be interesting to see. Sean Miller has a lot of pieces to work with, that's for sure. A lot more than we thought he would 2 months ago.
Remember when Devonair Dutrieve was the prized recruit of the 2018 class
because
he was the only one.
I'm maybe more excited about him than anyone else just because of how versatile he can be.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a combo guard. He can play the one. And before they brought in Coleman and Brandon Williams, I thought that he could get a look at starting point over Barcelo just because he's that combo guard. And you see the handles on this kid. It's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Look up his highlight reel. He can do a lot. He has a good shooting hand, and he can pass the ball. So.
Yeah.
He'll be an impressive player this year.
Sean Miller's point guards are always, there's really no happy medium. And the ones that are happy medium, they don't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at, okay, let's talk about from one extreme to another. We'll go back to when he was first at Arizona. He had Momo Jones everybody remembers Momo Jones.
Yeah.
He was a combo guard, but he actually did just enough to take them. Well, Derek Williams really took them to the Elite Eight, but he was a major part of that team. Then you look at TJ McConnell, completely different from Momo Jones. He was the guy that was facilitating, getting everyone involved.
Hey, shout out the process.
Doing pretty good in playoffs, right?
Down 3-0.
Down 3-0, but...
But TJ's been playing well.
TJ's playing well. But my point is looking at the point guards that's coming into this year, Brandon Williams, he's really not the best facilitator, but he's big. He's 6'1", maybe 6'2". He could score. And then you also have Justin Coleman, who was 12th in college basketball last year in assists per game.
Right.
So, I mean, you're getting your good dosage of point guard play no matter which one is in at the same time. That's why I also think that for everybody who is follows us on Twitter, a lot of people even said that, no, the backcourt will be Brandon Williams and Justin Coleman next year, which I was like, that's very interesting. That's a two-point guard set, but that also kind of pushes aside dudes like Dylan Smith and Randolph.
Mm-hmm. You could even do it with Dutry. I mean, Dutry can start with Williams, and they can be the one, too. I mean, it's going to depend who has a good, who comes through practice and who stands out to Miller, but they have a lot of options. I mean, you can start Randolph at the two. If need be. But really quick quote here from Crespi coach Russell White, that's Brandon Williams' coach in high school, on the versatility of Brandon Williams. Talent-wise, he's the cream of the crop. He's going to be ready to go. He's excited. I know he's going to do some good things. He can pass. He can score. He can dribble. He's worked on the defense a little bit, but he knows that. So that's going to be the big thing for the big narrative for Sean Miller is what kind of defensive team are they going to be? They have, I know what you're getting ready here. Straight from the mouth of Russell White, Crespi head coach. But Sean Miller's going to have a lot of versatility on offense. It's going to come down to, again, how good his defense is. And Brandon Williams sounds like he's working on it. Sounds like he knows what he needs to do to be successful in Sean Miller's system. So that'll be interesting.
So all these dominoes are starting to fall. And now there's just a couple players left. We mentioned Parker Braun. I really don't understand why Arizona's really going after him. I think he's kind of more of just like the, hey, if everything hits the fan, we're going to put all of our chips on the table for this guy. Mm-hmm. But now looking at
him, he's a body inside.
Yeah, he's a body.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to tell me that, especially 2 months ago, that Arizona would strongly be in the running for McDonald's All-American, I would think you were tripping.
And Jordan Brown. Right.
He is a 6'10", maybe 6'11", power forward out of...
6'10", 195.
Is it Roseville, California?
Napa. Yeah, Prolific
Park. Napa, mm-hmm. California.
Hey, shout out to the hometown Sonoma.
So his top three choices are the hometown Cal and kind of hometown. Not really, but it's like... an hour and a half east from him, and that's Reno, Nevada. Mm-hmm. The Nevada Wolfpack are in the running for him. And, of course, Arizona. Friday, Chris Murray from the Reno Gazette Journal.
Shout out Sam. A lot of shout outs.
Yes. Shout out Sam Gross. Sam Gross. Our guy. He tweeted out that Brown actually canceled his visit to Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
His official visit that he was... which was his third,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was like, man, that's really huge for Arizona. Especially because it came after Brandon Williams tweeted out that cat emoji.
Right. Well, the whole thing with Chris Murray watching his Twitter account yesterday was pretty funny. So he reported, I mean, it all happened within a span of 2 hours at the most. He tweeted, reported that Jordan Brown would take his final visit to Nevada, and that was a big deal for Arizona because it was reported earlier in the week that Sean Miller had been in touch with Jordan Brown and selling him on why he should take his final visit to Arizona. And so Chris Murray yesterday tweeted probably around noon, that's a rough estimate, probably around noon that Jordan Brown would be taking his final official visit to Nevada, and then literally 2 hours later reported that Jordan Brown canceled it. And, that comes all amid the Brandon Williams tweet with the gritty Wildcat emoji.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole timeline here is what intrigues me. You have Jordan Brown, 5-star recruit, highly considering Arizona and Nevada. Cal's also on the board. He's taking an official visit there. So you have him say he's taking his final official visit to Nevada. And then somewhere in between there, you have the Brandon Williams tweet. And then you have Jordan Brown cancel his visit to Nevada. And today you have Jordan Brown post on his Instagram early in the morning that he's in Reno on campus at Nevada. Mm-hmm. So what we would presume is an unofficial visit. Mm-hmm. His third? Fourth. We were saying his third. So his third visit to Nevada. But what problems me is that people are saying, well, Nevada's the favorite for him. If Nevada's the favorite for him, tell me why he canceled an official visit there. And look, the whole thing with Brandon Williams doesn't line up. Brandon Williams committing to Arizona doesn't help Nevada's argument for Jordan Brown. Yeah. But what should worry Nevada is that if he takes his final recruiting official visit to Arizona, which he very well might, we might hear that news in the next week or so, if he comes to Arizona, Sean Miller's already in his ear. If Sean Miller sits down with this kid in McHale Center, in my opinion, it's game over for Nevada. Yeah. I don't think Jordan Brown's walking off the U of A campus anything but committed to the Arizona Wildcats.
I think many speculate, you know, the whole Jordan Brown is favored to go to Nevada simply because of the amount of visits that you take. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he also was 90 minutes away.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's like saying if ASU was heavily recruiting me and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm going to cancel my visit. Oh, you're offering me a nice dinner? Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? Hey, I might drive up an hour and a half up the road to go see what they have to say and let them wine and dine me. Mm-hmm. When you're a 17-year-old, 18-year-old athlete and all these grown men are coming at you just trying to, I don't know, wine and dine you, mm-hmm. take you out to the most expensive restaurant in town, trying to show you, hey, you could be our prized guy. You could be our number one player for next year. I'm going to take anything that they're going to offer me as long as it's right in front of me.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's 90 minutes up the road. Why not go visit Nevada? He's there today. I mean, it's a 90-minute drive for him, you know? So why not?
It's not bad.
It's like people in Tucson. You want to go visit Phoenix? Want to go Scottsdale for the day, spring training or something? Go do it,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I mean, it's no skin off your back. Exactly. Whereas it's flying out of state to go visit Arizona, that's a commitment. You got to do it. And it's tough for me to call Nevada a favorite when he canceled an official visit there. And when Sean Miller's been in his ear, we know from Jordan Brown's coach that Sean Miller has been in Jordan Brown's ear frequently. That's not a good thing for Nevada, especially with how much momentum Sean Miller has right now with Brandon Williams coming here. The whole timeline just seems iffy to me, and it makes me think that Jordan Brown is strongly considering taking his talents down to Tucson, which would propel Miller likely into the top 10 recruiting class for 2018.
Yeah.
And give them as good of a lineup as anyone in the Pac-12. Not to mention, going toe-to-toe with Oregon and UCLA next year is going to be very difficult.
Yeah.
They got you know, UCLA has Sharif O'Neal, an Arizona recruit. They have a top-5 recruiting class. Top 6 now, actually, I think they're 6th. Oregon is number 3 in the country behind Duke and Kentucky. So some of these recruiting classes stack up with the best programs in the country. And Pac-12, the top of the Pac-12 at least, is going to be pretty tough next year. Kind of similar to what we saw, was it 2 years ago when it was Arizona, Oregon, UCLA? Yeah, exactly. So it could be something very similar to that.
However, Oregon and UCLA, they have a few guys that are actually returning.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason why I'll give those two the slight edge over Arizona, because they for UCLA, they have the two guys that got caught shoplifting in China.
Mm-hmm.
That's last name isn't Ball. And then Oregon, you know, they have Peyton Pritchard coming back, who's one of the best guards in the Pac-12. So those two teams, I think, will be set. But, man, if you, like we said 2 months ago, if you were telling me that Arizona would be in the position that they're in right now, it would seem like a complete lie.
By the way, fun little nugget. I meant to bring this up earlier when we were talking about Brandon Williams. He committed today at the Ball is Life All-American game. You know who was at the Ball is Life All-American game?
Javon Quinterly.
And?
Sharif
O'Neal. Both on board for Brandon Williams' commitment to Arizona. I didn't see anything from Quinterly. I know Sharif O'Neal tweeted his forget what he said off the top of my head, but tweeted at Brandon Williams congratulating him, wishing him nothing but the best. And it'll be interesting seeing them go toe-to-toe next year. Javon Quinterly, of course, off to defending champ Villanova, but UCLA and Arizona play twice next year?
Yeah, I believe so.
So you're going to see Sharif O'Neal and Brandon Williams going toe-to-toe. You better believe when Sharif O'Neal comes to Tucson, it's going to be pretty rowdy in McHale Center,
hostile.
I'd say. Yeah, very hostile. Especially if Arizona's as good as we expect them to be now, especially with the prospect of getting Jordan Brown.
Absolutely.
I mean, again, you said it, Justin, from where we were 2 months ago, literally 2 months ago, March 2nd, March 2nd, Brandon Williams decommitted, and here we are, May 5th, talking about May 6th? May 5th.
May 5th.
I guess yeah, by the time everyone's listening, it'll be May 6th. But look, it's pretty phenomenal what Sean Miller's been able to do. And there's two recruiting spots left. So if it's not Jordan Brown, he's got to get on his horse again and start working on the recruiting trail because he's got two spots to fill.
How many margaritas do you think Sean Miller put down today on Cinco de Mayo in celebration for this?
I'd go 12 Sonoran dogs and about 34 margaritas. 34 from Al Simon.
All right. Hey, well, you know what? Hey, let's go and try to tackle that ourselves.
Okay, hey.
Happy Cinco
you got the mark
de Mayo.
You know I'm down.
All right, for Dominic, I'm Justin. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Wildcast podcast. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, download that Wildcaster app, and follow us on all social media platforms. Thanks for listening.